hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. There's an endless amount of moving company nightmare stories, but what do you do when you're just trying to do your job moving someone and your customers seem to be on a mission to make life as difficult as possible? Well, that's today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
And it is. And yes, 833-HATE-JOB is the phone number. Or you can also go to OfficeHorrorStories.com and share your Office Horror Story with us. That way, right there on the website. Of course, please leave us a review. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever it's called this week. When you do that, shoot me a screenshot of it. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and I'll put you to a drawing for a $100 Visa gift card. Every month, we give one of those away. We make you the Employee of the Month, as you heard on our last episode, our winner of that. So if you want to be in the drawing for that, just leave that review. Send me the screenshot, and you're in the drawing. There you go. So that works. Tony and Sean on today's episode. And how are you this fine day?
I'm dandy. Did you get my screenshots I sent you?
Your review?
It has nothing to do with the Employee of the Month, just the screenshots that I sent you of the new coworker.
No. Is this something you like just sent me right now, or what are you talking about?
It is. We can address it in another show, but her new haircut, it's interesting.
I did not receive that. Is this sent via text message? Because I have my phone in front of me.
I sent it on an iPad or an iPod or something. You'll eventually get it next Thursday.
If it arrives, we'll discuss. No, I did not. I did not see that. Would you like to, since this is radio or podcast, would you like to expound upon what was in the images?
Well, you know, a mohawk, everybody kind of knows a mohawk, whether it was their uncle or their dad or themselves back in 89. Mm-hmm. A sidehawk, if you will. And it's a female.
That's a thing now. That's a common thing. I personally am not. OK, is this like the side where it's combed over and like half the head is shaved?
Yes.
It's not truly like sticking up in the air like a mohawk, like.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, to each their own, if that's what you like, whatever. But I know it's kind of a popular trend right now. Just speaking from a perspective of, do I find it attractive? I don't like it. I don't know.
I think it's one of those where if you, whether it's head shape or just the look or your personality, I mean, you can nail it. That can be a very good look on some people. And then if anybody wants to kind of keep up with the trend or, oh, hey, that's the new fad and you try it. No, don't even try to look cool.
That's very true. There are, you know, there's some women that I've seen that have that going on and it actually looks good. And it's like, okay. And I guess those are the ones I must have to take a second or third look and go, oh, yeah, that is that hairstyle because it doesn't stand out to me. Because it's like it just looks right, like this works on you. But then there's some where it's like, holy shit, this is not a good idea.
Shouldn't have left your house this morning, ma'am.
And then that's the same for anybody. I mean, there's all different things. Like there's men who can't grow facial hair and so badly want to, and it just looks really looks like they have some bad disease that it's like, this isn't working for you. Just don't try it. It's
your upper lip looks fantastic on the right there, on the left there, and what the fuck is in the middle? Something went on. Your facial hair went on a drought for the last 7 years there, bud. You shouldn't try that. Stop it.
I think that's a thing with people in general where when they want to do something so badly and it's this, I can do anything I want attitude. And no, you really can't. I think we all just need to take a step back and realize there's some things we can do and some things we can't do. Just because our partner next to us can do this or that, or our friend over there can do this, doesn't mean that we have the ability to do the exact same thing. And just accept it. Accept our strengths and accept our weaknesses. That's all.
So what you're telling me is Miss Williamson in second grade, when she said, if you put your mind to anything, you can accomplish it.
Full of shit.
She's a liar.
Lying.
She's a liar.
Lying bitch. Completely lying. Yep. It's more so, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And let's explore those. Not, hey, that looks really neat. I want to do that too. Well, you can try it, but if it's not working very well, know when to call it a day. That's all. That's just identify that, because you see that too often. And that's a lesson that should be learned in childhood. And I think we have this system now, this society now that doesn't do that, that doesn't let those very important key lessons of identifying strength and weakness to be learned well. And I'm not talking about bullying and putting people down. I'm just saying, just identify, what are you good at? What are you not? And accept that that's what it is.
Because the ultimate conclusion is everything becomes mediocrity.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you're not really that good. Well, but that's good. But when you were 8, you should have had parents who love you enough to say, so here's the thing. As much as you want to be an astronaut, you are really good at talking on the radio. As much as you want to be a marathon runner, you can be a coach because you have asthma and you get winded when you run a quarter mile. And then guess what? Years later in life, you are champion, whatever the hell you are amazing at.
Yeah.
You add up everybody, but it's another story for another day on a different show.
Exactly. It all kind of does play into this, though, because that's where I think a lot of office horror stories come into play, is individuals not identifying their strengths and their weaknesses and then going full force at a weakness. And then it creates chaos in an office. 833-HATE-JOB is our number. 833-HATE-JOB. Or, of course, you can write in at officehorrorstories.com. Let's go to our first letter of the day, and it says, thanks for reading Office Horror Stories. I've been holding on to this stuff for some time, and it feels great to unleash this on the airwaves. I worked for a questionable moving company as an office administrator for approximately half a year, and I occasionally helped with the moves when we were shorthanded on labor staff. I don't blame them for not showing up, though. Being a discount moving company, we were introduced to all kinds of culture shock and real-life problems that one doesn't expect to absorb in their daily work. I've seen mounds of junk piled to the ceiling, estate clear-outs when someone passes away, dirty diapers and garbage strewn about a dwelling where people eat and sleep, and I've even been pulled into drama of ongoing divorces while trying to move their belongings and survive in this field of work. One job is still firmly planted in my memory a year later. We were hired to move a family from one city to another with approximately 2 hours drive in between. The contract we signed and we arrived with the deposit paid. We began in the early morning and tried to ease my heart attack as our eyes took into how much junk we had to move. The garage was arranged in a pile to the ceiling, approximately 14 feet high, filled with children's toys. And when I say pile, I mean it. Nothing was packed in there. We loaded the garage contents, which took most of the time. Upon starting on the house, it was one shock after another approaching a new room. Some things were packed in boxes but covered in sticky substances. The house itself had potential to be gorgeous if not covered in the thickest layer of dust, crumbs, moldy food, and animal feces I've ever seen.
We somehow managed to load up this house while stepping around three extremely obese children who were not monitored by the parents. When snack time arrived for the kids, the mother, who was a nurse, mind you, pulled out a massive tray of frozen cheesecake slices. I know that health and diet tend to be prioritized differently when moving, but the children's dinner and waistlines probably suggested it was a regular diet. My heart broke for these kids due to health and living conditions, but I knew it wasn't my place to judge. We continued this move from hell, which in total took 20 hours straight to complete. Less than a day after completion, the mother proceeded to call us daily, scream that we broke a mason jar, and that she refused to pay the rest of the amount for the move, threatened legal action constantly, and to make matters worse, our boss could not locate the signed contract for the move. I took this as a sign from the universe that transporting goods was not my destined career path. Thanks for the cool new podcast. That's all for now. Sounds like a lovely experience.
Hey, you want to put that that filing cabinet down filled with dirty diapers? I got a slice of cheesecake for you.
or try and pay in cheesecake. Let's barter. Let's do a little bartering. Today. Yeah.
So I know we agreed to pay $650. We never really stipulated if that was American currency or some Funyuns. I mean, expiration date, it's only 4 months ago. Oh my gosh. Can't even imagine movers showing up to, it's like you're watching Price is Right and there's the door with the big old question mark on it. You agree that you're going to move X pounds or X square feet of stuff, but you show up to see the stuff is, oh my goodness.
Nightmare. Yeah. And the moving industry is interesting because I know there's a ton of competition out there now with it. And from what I'm understanding, having gone through a move, and I mean, you've gone through many a moves too. I just wrapped one up a couple months ago and we had the moving company. And what I'm learning is that the estimators in many cases will far underestimate the job. So the quote comes in low enough that you take them. And then at the end of the day, it's on the people who are physically having to move all the shit to just deal with the excess. Because quotes, depending on your company, will be max. It's like, okay, it's not going to go higher than this, but this is what your quote is. Some will go higher. It just depends what your company is. But they'll lowball it. And that's what happened with us. And it was a big company, too. And I went with a bigger company thinking, I just want a straightforward move. I'm not going with super discount. I want to pay a fair price. I just want this done right. And every fucking thing went wrong. Because, you know, why would it go right when you try to do the right things?
What happened? What was the biggest fuck up?
It was underestimated by like a semi or so. It just grossly underestimated. And the movers were like, I don't know how he missed all this. I said, I don't know, because I actually got rid of more shit after he came and took the estimate. So if anything, it should be less than what, you see here in terms of stuff. So I didn't add anything more to this, and I packed my boxes very well, because they're always like, well, you know, when people pack their boxes, they don't pack them. It's like, I've been through God knows how many moves. I've become borderline professional at this. Like, they're fucking packed to the brim.
So you call, you get movers, you get a quote, people show up, and then it's you turn into a divorce attorney or a negotiator between who you talk to, who supplied the people that showed up, and the people that showed up. All while saying, please don't drop my piano, please.
Yeah. Moving's never fun.
Would you rather take that situation or, as both of us have moved enough and our careers have taken us away from family, so we're states away, you get the news that your mom is moving, but your mom is, and you love your mom because who doesn't love their parents, whether they're amazing or not, they're our parents. Your mother is the most particular, and clearly you're related to your mom, so you already know all of your personality traits, perfectionist, OCD, LMNOP. That's your mom. So you want to help states away, but you're trying to help a person who wants it her way and only her way, but clearly needs help because it's your mom.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
The question is, what do you go and help? Is that the question?
The question is, would you rather have to deal with the negotiators that that you just went through a few months back, mm-hmm. or trying to help your perfectionist mother move when she doesn't want your help, but she does want your help and your state's away?
I think I would I'd deal with the mom because it doesn't have to go into the world of litigious possibilities. You're probably not going to sue your mom.
Turns out.
Yeah. So when does this, is this happening soon? Is this going to be a fun experience that you can share?
No, it's ongoing. Mm-hmm. And again, I have moved a bit more than normal people.
Yeah.
So you just, hey, here's the deal. Does it suck? Yes. Does it need to get done? Yes. Mm-hmm. And the most sucky point of any move is moving. So just get through it, get to the next location, and then the shitstorm will subside.
Yeah.
Right now, we are still ramping up to the actual logistics of the move. We're still in the stages of, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with this and this and this and this? And I want to minimize all of that conjecture and just say, hey, we're going to knock this out in a weekend. We're good. We'll pack everything up. We'll get it. You just focus on where you want to move. And it's good to go.
When's the last time she moved? How long ago?
16 years.
Okay, so yeah. I mean, it's one thing when you kind of get it down to a science because you've done it, and it's one thing if it's been 16 years. Then it's like, oh, holy shit, how does this work again?
And then you're the asshole son if you're not being as emotionally showing empathy. Oh, yes, that does stink. That. Well, how about this? Rather than focusing on all of the suckage, we got to push through this. Come on now. We got to get, I want to help you. I apologize. I'm getting a little bit too agitated, Mom. Come on.
You just got to be the Tony Robbins of the move. And
we're going to show up with a truck. I'm going to go see where, what's his name? Ty, move that bus.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, we got the team. Mom, you're going to go with her. You guys are going to go out to a day spa. And then we're going to, but see, that's how it would work on the TV.
Yeah.
Real life, you have, don't you touch my piano. Don't you touch my music. Church is Sunday morning and I need that and because I'm cantering. Oh, fuck.
It almost sounds like you're dealing with an episode of Hoarders more than anything.
But that's the thing. See, and I don't want this to be misconstrued.
Yeah.
It's not as though there's piles of shat.
Yeah.
It's just there is normal amount of, I mean, and in loving your family, you're as honest as you can about your family. It's not that at all. It's just there's stuff. There's normal stuff. And obviously, if you're not a 20, 30-ish year old, you know, ready to take on the world, and you're in your Golden Girls-esque era of life, you don't want to fucking move.
Yeah.
So it's just a situation of I'm kind of looking at it from the standpoint of wanting to help, wanting to supply the resources, wanting to do the physical labor, if you will. And my mom is, you know, kind of on the reflective what have you. So it's not an exuberant amount of actual physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's the frustrating back and forth of, hey, let's do this, opposed to, oh boy, how are we going to do this? Let's go. Come on.
Sometimes you just got to let it go and just kind of let her figure it out. And then when she says, okay, can you come on this weekend? Okay, sure. And then, you know, got to take that step back. It's not easier though. 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror story with us. Let's go to another letter. It says, for 10 years, from 21 to 31, I worked in a popular chain bar attached to a restaurant. The bar is where it's at, and it's considered the leader of the establishment. Our district manager, we'll call him Roger, was an alcoholic and spent most of his visits to our store drinking for hours on end in the bar with regulars because I worked in the bar and was one of his favorites. I had the displeasure of having to wait on him every time he visited, which was usually three times a month or so. He had a select few of his regular men who would sit with him, and being the sleazy, walking cliche he was, the more they would drink, the more obnoxious Roger and his gang of Weinsteins would get. Professionalism be damned. If I messed up the smallest thing, Roger would jokingly, according to him, humiliate me in front of as many people as possible. But even worse than that, he was always hugging and touching me. Our house managers bowed down to him because this was before the Me Too movement ushered us into bravery. I just kind of had to take it. Anytime I'd bring up how uncomfortable I was, they'd say, well, you're his favorite. You should be happy he likes you. One blistering summer, we opened our new patio that was attached to the bar. We had to wear all black in the heat, but luckily we got to wear shorts. Naturally, I had to work that party in 105-degree weather on freshly paved scorching blacktop, making $2.13 an hour, and at the mercy of drunkards. On top of it all that day, I got to wait on a gang of sleazeballs ran by him. Per usual, he was making me uncomfortable and running my ass around like there was no tomorrow. Towards the end of the night, I was bussing their table and picking up empty glasses. I reached over to pick up his glass and he smacked my ass and slid his hand down beneath my underwear, yes, there, and said, "Why don't you go grab me another one?" I felt so violated and sickened, I quit very shortly after that. While I do think the Me Too movement has created some unwarranted issues for a few innocent men, I'm happy that it's also happened to has also helped as people as well. I wish it had been around a few years ago when this happened. I'll never forget that moment or the feelings of his nasty hand or the trauma that's lasted from that event. I'm so happy I don't have to see him anymore, and I pray no other girls experience that from him or anyone else. Thanks for providing an outlet. Thanks for listening. I'm sorry this was so hard to write for me. Wow. Well, that is the epitome there of a extremely insane boss that needs to be removed immediately. Probably not only from the job, but probably from the planet too.
I was going to say not only his current professional situation, but freedom. You know, I think stories like this, which, I mean, good for her to be able to move along and just, hey, I don't know what my next job is going to be, but it's not going to be here. But it's nice to have a little bit of sanity to understand the situations that we find ourselves in that are so frustrating. We want to go to work every day. We go to work, we want to punch ourselves in the face. We want to rip our hair out. We think all of these issues that we are venting to you and us about, guess what? When you compare it to a story like this, not really that big of a deal that Danielle likes to whistle in small spaces in the cubicle right next to you into your ear. You're not having to deal with Captain Douchebag.
Yeah, that's just, yeah. I whenever I have these stories of sexual harassment, I always go back and I've mentioned this guy so many times and I won't go into it because listeners are like, oh, it's that guy again. But we had this one boss years ago that was just that guy. He was the Harvey Weinstein of radio, and but with no like credentials, no history of like success at all. Just creepy motherfucker.
If there was a show on TBS and they were looking to cast the role of, you know, that guy, yeah. We don't really know if he ever or would he ever, but you think he would and did, it would be it'd be that guy.
There was elements to that story that she just shared that this show brings back memories that I remember him telling me about. And I remember this was something I had to put into the notes when we got him canned. And the thing is, I mean, this day and age, he should have gone to fucking jail for some of the shit that he was doing. But I don't know how much, I don't know what was consensual. I just don't. All I know is what he was telling me. And it seemed that the one person who was actually upset about him being fired was the person that he told me he did essentially what that story just talked about doing with this person. If I recall correctly, the one person who was upset also went and visited him and they remained good friends after. So I think it might've been a bit more on the consensual side, just seeing how the relationship still continued and everyone else was glad this guy was gone. I just remember him creepily telling me in his office one day, he's like, "Yeah, you know what I did last night? I was down by the promotional stuff and all the banners, and so-and-so is there with me." And then he does the, he like graphically with his, he acts it out almost like with his hand. He's like, I'm like, okay, I'm good. I don't need to know anymore.
I went to the grocery store, got some Sun Chips and watched Big. It was on TBS.
Yeah. It's like, you creepy motherfucker. It's like, thanks for the note. I'm going to go put this down on the large dock that I'm working on.
And what do you do when you work in a smaller building, and both of us are backgrounds in radio. So clearly, if you never thought to think of what a radio station studio looks like, just think of maybe the janitorial closet in your mega law firm that you work in. It's a little bit smaller than the smallest janitorial closet, and usually there's about four radio stations within that square footage. So what do you do when you go into the staff kitchen, working in a very small building, and you have that token person, and there's nowhere to go? Yeah. You want to end the conversation or look the other way or act as though you didn't hear them. They're right there and you just got to hunker down and take it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have nothing to add to this conversation. How can I be any more noncommittal to not wanting to hear your stories and details that you should not be saying, let alone here at work or anywhere to another human?
So many people have no sense of boundary of what is appropriate or not. And I don't think they ever will. I think with some people, that's not a teachable thing. You know, I mean, I guess maybe technically it is, but then they really have to work at it. If you don't have that sense of I can share this, I can't share this, it's never going to come to you because it's just kind of, it's like an innate thing. It's like, it's daytime. It's nighttime. I just know these things because I look out the window and I can sense them. If you can't sense what's appropriate or not, there's no amount of learning or instructional videos or motivational speakers or shit that's ever going to get that through your fucking head of, you know, some people are just fucking creepy and some are not. And I think that's kind of what it comes down to. 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number, or write in on our website, officehorrorstories.com. And now a feature that this is the first time you're hearing it. This is a very exciting new one. I love it. Now, here we go. We have a jingle, too.
Over dramatic review.
And this is where we take a review from the internet and do a very dramatic reading of it. So this is, sometimes they're serious, sometimes they're not. It's just kind of a mix of shit that we find all over the place. So here we go. This one is from a hotel. It says, first off, they tried to give us a single bedroom when we paid for two beds. The lady then proceeded to open every room on the first two floors to try to find a room with two beds, including a room with someone sleeping in it, without knocking or anything. Secondly, Priceline canceled my reservations before I got there. So the front desk was all screwed up trying to figure out how to charge my room and recharge my room, plus the $70 damage deposit. The staff was rude, incompetent, and very unprofessional. The pocket doors in the bathroom hadn't been adjusted in several years, so they were all damaged and wouldn't close right. There were holes in the wall from only God knows what. The air conditioner was making loud clanking noises all night. The pictures for the rooms are about 20 years old, and there are no refrigerators, microwaves, or coffee makers in the rooms. The continental breakfast was milk and stale, an outdated cereal. We actually noticed a lady pouring the old milk from a pitcher back into the milk jug. To top it all off, we were woken up by someone across the hall apparently making a porn video, banging on the walls and screaming for about 2 hours. My son's comment the next morning was he didn't want to sleep in a room having to listen to Mona Lisa and Dick Tracy. That next night, we left a day early. We sat in the lobby the next morning and watched over a dozen people come and go as they were either unable to provide a room with working AC or people were not willing to pay the high price for such crappy accommodations.
Overdramatic review.
There you go. That's our overdramatic review of the week.
Mona Lisa and Dick Tracy.
Mona Lisa and Dick Tracy. Yeah. You like that?
Talk to that reviewer in future in creative writing.
At least, you know, the kid came up with something, you know, I guess not vile to say. But
that youngster's got a future in comedy.
Have you ever been in a hotel situation like that or an apartment situation where the neighbors just have a lot of sex and it's like, Jesus Christ, are you not aware of how thin these walls are or just don't care?
I've never been next to the porno filming.
No.
I unfortunately have always been next to the 2 a.m, just a very angry, loud conversation regarding Target.
Regarding Target? What?
What? And it's usually And obviously, sleeping in a hotel, there's a certain amount of, okay, I understand it's not going to be my 100% conditions of how it is at my home, whether I like the white noise or whether I like the complete silence. Or, okay, you're in a hotel, but it's the off pace. The conversation you think ends, so you're about sleeping, and they were out of shower curtains. And the coupon said they should have been $7.99, but I had to pay $11.49. And then I went to the express, and it's like, motherfucker. And you almost want to call the front desk, but then it subsides and it quiets. And then they move in the other room. So maybe they're on the other side of the room neighboring you, but then they come to very close to the wall. So they're that much louder. It's that's kind of the inconsistent, consistent loud talkers that I've been next to. Never the never LL Cool J's doing it round. So at least that's a rhythm. So you go to bed. It's like a train.
Yeah, it's kind of like calming noise. It's like, okay, yeah.
When you're 13 and you get HBO Stars and Cinemax free for the weekend. So you hypothetically, and you have a VCR and you hypothetically record from 12:30 in the morning to like 2:30 in the morning because you want to record the soft porno, and then because hey, you're growing up and you're like, what are these feelings? And then I don't know, your mom wants to watch Home Alone because it's around the holidays, but you never took the blank tape out to see what you recorded. So then it's like, oh fuck, what do you do? And then maybe, you come home from school and on the kitchen table, there's a, what is it like Maxell or Maxwell or whatever the blank videotape, which if you don't know what a blank VHS tape is, just Google it. But one of, you get a 6-pack or a 10-pack, great present for your dad for Christmas from about 91 to 97. Anyways, you get home and there is a tape, which it's the tape you put in the VCR to record free Skinamax weekend. And there's a post-it on the blank VHS with a Sharpie that says XXX. Doesn't say throw it away. Doesn't say I am shunning you from the family, Sean. Doesn't say anything. But you know what? What is that? Carry the one. I don't know. Fuck. 26 years later, we are talking about it in 2020. That right there is good parenting. Mom knew what to do, made it insanely awkward. And, never watched what was on that tape.
So this was a conversation over the holidays that you had.
Hey, can you you pass the stuffing? So Sean, did you ever watch that on the video there? Oh man, this dressing is great.
Would have been a great stocking stuffer or something. What is this, a VHS? What the fuck's on? Oh my God. Yeah. The thing is,
back to hotel pornos. It may have been on that tape.
May have been. The struggle was real back then when
sure was.
Being a teenage boy in the 90s, those were the lengths we had to go to.
You had the channel, but you didn't have the channel and you could like blink really fast because it was kind of morph. I saw a nipple.
That's the thing. It's one of those things like, kids today, and teenagers, like there's access to all that shit everywhere. But it's like when you were a teenager, especially a teenage boy back then. Oh my God. Yeah. It's like, hey, I know like all the channels are scrambled, but if you tilt your head slightly to the side and then blink really fast, you might be. It's like, yeah. Wow. That's
What's funny is that is the second most embarrassing story involving my family and feeling my roots.
Well, I can't wait for the first one and what will ever bring that one about. I don't know, but I'm sure this show will find a way. 833-HATE-JOB is our number. 833-HATE-JOB. We have one more story lined up for the episode. It says this was about 5 years ago. One day I looked up from my desk to see some coworkers gathered near a wall down the hall. I got up to investigate it. One of my coworkers, who was a good friend, comes up to me and says breathlessly, "Someone pooped on the floor." She's all smiles like this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to her. Keep in mind, this is a working professional at a tech company in her 30s. Thus, I began the great poop mystery. Apparently, someone had left a little turd about the size of a Hershey's Kiss on the floor near the wall. In fact, that's what the first person who saw it thought it was, a somewhat melted Hershey's Kiss. He almost picked it up to throw it away when he thought it might be better to make sure it was just chocolate. Upon bending down, he knew very quickly this was not chocolate and certainly not something he should touch. Naturally, he shouted, "Someone pooped on the floor!" And everyone came running. Speculation was rampant as to who had left the little poopy there. Everyone was standing around talking in little groups like at a crime scene or a car accident. The only thing missing was the cops with notepads and the yellow tape barrier. Most people assumed it had to be someone who wasn't there with us, but others were quick to point out that criminals, even poopy ones, often return to the scenes of their crimes. Some thought it was done on purpose as a prank. Others thought someone somehow wiped poorly and it fell out of their pants on the way back to the bathroom. Co-workers accused one another. Diagrams were drawn, noting time, location, paths about an hour. Our bosses were also curiously absent. We settled on a few likely suspects, and someone finally got up the nerve to dispose of the turd, at which point we all reluctantly went back to work. We still talked about it for a while afterward, but the perpetrator was never caught. Sounds like a CSI episode right there.
You know, we did some renovating here on the office floor there, Carl. Oh, that's not where the new restroom is? I apologize about that.
Whoops. I can't say I've run into misplaced poop in many occasions.
Man, what do you do? I mean, you get toilet paper sometimes stuck to your shoe.
Done that.
I really racking the brain to try to think the oopsie-daisy of, oh, I meant to put that in my drawer. Well, okay, very outlandish.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, usually it's when I take my dog to the vet, they want a sample. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do we know this was human?
I don't think they did a forensic analysis on it.
Because, I mean, why you would have little Dexter's sample in your purse or your pocket, but man, you take that corner too quick and the top of the container holding the samples loose. I mean, hey, could ricochet off the wall and, you know, right on the ground there.
It does seem like that could be a plausible explanation.
Didn't know if there's residue on the drywall there, maybe a smear.
That's what I don't understand. We talked about that actually in an episode. There's been like poop in the last three episodes I've done. And it's all just kind of come up naturally. Our winner the other day of the $100 Visa gift card for giving the review, she had a story where there was poop all over the walls. Like somebody literally did artwork with it. Where she worked, we had a story the other day on an episode with Carol where it was... something very similar too, where it was like all over, just in places where how the fuck does it get there? And I don't know. I think it's a thing. I think there's maybe I don't want to Google this because every time you Google something, then the ads that show on your computer pertain to what you Googled. So I don't
Tony,
know.
What were you looking at?
God
it's
knows.
For work purposes.
God knows what the fuck the ad should be for this. But I'm thinking this must be a thing for some people. Of doing things with their poop other than disposing of it in the toilet. I don't know what that is called or what it is, but it's showing up in somewhat of a pattern. So this has to be something that triggers something for some people. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's got to be something. I don't know. What would you Google? What would you search to find the answer to that question?
Cry for attention. Plea. For attention, and you mentioned the last three shows have talked about poop.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be at least four because we had in high school, they coined the phrase the unipooper.
Oh, God. What did he do?
Oh, we got time now?
Yeah. Is it a short story?
Or should we? Basically, the gist of it is on multiple occasions throughout the year, multiple bathrooms in our high school randomly would have poop smeared across the walls,
oh,
in the stalls, and essentially basically found out a student was pooping and then all over the restrooms.
It's something. It's got to be, that's got to be like in the psychology book, whatever it's called. There's that's a condition. It has to be. Yeah. If someone knows, email me because I'm curious as to what that is. I'm sure
and
we
have now a millionaire because he uses poop for art and they're on display in New York.
Great. Well, I'm glad he was able to make a positive choice out of that, because remember, you can do anything you want as long as you put your mind to it. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. If you like the show, press subscribe, whatever platform you listen to us on, and do share your office horror story with us, even if it involves poop. 833-HEY-JOB or officehorrorstories.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.